Pas. At the end of this, we're going to have about three big points that I want you to take away from the message, if we can get to that. But Luke chapter 5, verse 1, and it should read, "And it came to pass that the people pressed on him to hear the word." Does that look familiar to you? All right, for two of you, that sounds familiar. Anybody else, that sound familiar? Luke chapter 5. Are y'all all right? Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. We need to wake up this morning and just hear the word, all right? Let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, well, we just praise you. We thank you. Thank you for an opportunity to come into your house and worship. To worship you, Lord God. Not to hear songs that we like, but to sing songs that worship you. What an opportunity that was this morning to come in here and say, God, we worship you. We love you. We love your amazing grace. We don't want to abuse it, but we need it every day. The angels can't sing of amazing grace because they didn't receive it, but the church can. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. The word of God is powerful because you know what? A man can say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, but the word of God says, no, we're going to do it the way God would have us to do it. Being spirit-led individuals, but led by the word of God. God breathed. That's what the Bible is. God breathed, and men wrote it down who were led by the Holy Spirit. And God, then we'll turn the service over to you, and we'll pray that you would have your way with people. And then at the end of that, Lord, we pray that we would go out of here and be the church that you would have us to be in the community that we live, in the workplaces that we live, and around the people that we are around. God, forgive us of our sins, our trespasses. We fall short of your glory. But then, Lord, let us be able to forgive others, because that's hard. We're fully forgiven. We're saved by grace, called by Jesus, yet we won't forgive anybody of anything. God, let us let go of our hurts, because you let go of all the hurts that we committed against you. We love you and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 5 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Are you pressing Jesus this morning? Do you want more of Jesus? Like, they found out that Jesus was with them. They found out Jesus was in the area. And they got all over him. They got all over him. The more he talked, the closer they got. The more he shared, the closer they got. They backed him all the way up to the Sea of Gennesaret. They backed him up till his heels hit water. Wouldn't that be awesome if the church, if the people would get so hungry and desire for Jesus that we would press him to the point where he has to give us the best that he has. I hope you know this, but the more you press Jesus, the better he gets. Amen. He's like a great olive. Amen. The olive's good when it's whole and it's beautiful, but the contents of the olive is amazing. I don't know if you've had this yet or not, but the contents of Jesus is amazing. Well, let me just go ahead and go there. I'll just take it all the way to Calvary. When Jesus was crushed, the church received the Holy Spirit. It's the greatest gift the church was ever given. Amen? It was a witness on the inside. It's God in us and through us. Amen? So let me tell you something. When you come to church, when you get a chance to read your Bible, when you get a chance to pray, press Him. Press Him. Press Him. Don't just waste the time. Just don't say, well, I've got to read 3 chapters. Well, I just got to pray. Well, I've got to go to church. Press in. If you'll press in, God will give you. If you touch Him, He'll touch you better than you've touched Him. Can y'all just give me an amen? Anybody in the back? Do you got something in here? Praise God. I love that. I love when they pressed Him. And what He did in verse 2, watch this. "And He saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." Jesus looked around and said, "Is there a vehicle that I can use?" Would you lend Jesus your vehicle? Amen? Would you lend Jesus, and I'm not talking about your boat, I'm not talking about your car, I'm really exhausted in some areas, so I'm just going to go to straight points right here. Will you let Jesus use your life? Will you let Him get on board? Amen? I'm going to go ahead and preach it the way I want to see it right here. And listen, if you'll let Him on board, guess what He'll do? As soon as He gets on board, Charlie, he takes off everything, puts on the captain's hat. You don't even realize it, but when Jesus gets on board, He is the captain of your ship. He is the Lord of your soul. If you let Him in, you can't help it. Somebody said, well, how am I going to do this when I get saved? I don't know if I can live it. I don't know if I can be it. Let me go ahead and dispel the biggest mystery of it all. It's hard being a Christian. You just ain't lived long enough yet as a lost person. That's hard. Amen? You get Jesus on the inside, you let Jesus be the captain of your life, things get easier, amen? They don't get easier what you deal with, they get easier because He helps you deal with them. Has there anybody in here that's walked through some difficult times with Jesus? Is there anybody in here who's walked through some difficult times with Jesus? Well, let me see if I can get this a little bit better. Is there anybody walking through some difficult times with Jesus? Like right now. Like, man, we look good this morning. We dressed up. We came to church. You know, are you walking through something with Him now? Because I'm going to be honest with you. When you walk through Him with it, it's amazing. Because you know what? Everybody else will be standing there looking at you and going, why ain't they quit? Why ain't they folded? Why haven't they given up? Why haven't they walked away? What are they doing? What's keeping them here? Because anybody can be a believer. Anybody can say Jesus when everything's going well. But man, when you show up, when you raise your hand, when you praise God, when it's all falling apart, when they left, when you got the diagnosis, when you heard about the child who went the wrong way, there's some people, I'm just going to go ahead and go with all this. There's some people sitting in here in this church right now. Somebody in your family went a different way. They went left when everybody else was going right. And everybody's watching you going, I think they're just going to fall apart. I think they're just going to quit. I think they're just going to give up. I think they're going to fold. And you're sitting there going, I'm going to love Jesus even though I don't know how it's going to turn out. One amen in here would be nice every once in a while. Praise God, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if it's going to be my way or God's way. But praise God, God's good anyway. I'm going to be faithful anyway. Ain't that? That's what God does when He gets them. Aren't you glad? It's not happenstance. It's not a mistake. It's not by any kind of. God looked over and said there's two ships there. He knew they were there when He stepped foot on the shore. Amen? He knew the vessels were there. He knows you. He was everything in your life. He was getting ready where He could step in it. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I made some big mistakes in my life. God knows the vessel, friend. Some of you go, man, I've been in church my whole life. I just ain't been you. God knew the vessel, friend. He ain't looking at you and go, I don't know. He made you. He designed you. He created you. He knows everything about you. You're C-rated. You just don't know that He's ready to get in. Just let Him get on board. We make theology, we make church so complicated. Sometimes we come in here and we think, well, it's got to be this way, it's got to be that. Just let Jesus on board. Some of y'all can stamp out a t-shirt on that one. Just let him on board. How are you going to run the church? How are you going to do it? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Let Jesus on board. Can you bring those two vessels over? I'd like to use them. Amen. Can you bring them over? And whose vessels were they? We know it's Peter. Praise God. He's the rock of the. He's the leader of the New Testament. Is it just happenstance that He picked His boat? Is it just happenstance that He's picking your boat? That some people say when they picked him, Peter was the oldest disciple. They think some near 40 years old, and they think John was around 15 to 16. Have you ever hung out with 15 and 16 when you're 40? It's different. It's fun for a day or two. But then you begin to realize there's a difference. Amen? There is an energy level. There is things that you think that are wonderful, but they don't. Come on, Gary. Amen. Every once in a while. It's just different. It's awesome because God can use both. But Peter, here he is, 40 years of his life. Some of y'all are sitting here 40, 50 years old. Well, God ain't really done. He wants to get in your boat.
Some of y'all, every time we do this, we come into church, we look over here, you young people, really, praise God, you church need to get on fire for God. If you got a pulse, reach down there. If that thing's still thumping, He wants you to. Amen? Because I'm going to be honest with you. In this church, we don't know what the ending date for every person in here is. They might be somebody in here who's 70 will live longer than somebody who's 15 in here. And you think God wants big things out of their life. God wants big things out of every life. He wants to get in every vessel. Peter probably said, you could have chosen anybody else. James and John's boat was there. Amen. Andrew's boat was there. They got in his boat. Amen. This ain't even the message. Are y'all having the greatest time of your life? I thought this morning, if I get two words to connect, I'd be happy this morning. But the fishermen were going out in verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed with him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. He said, just back it up off this. I'll use the waves as an amphitheater. He backs up and Peter sits in the boat. Peter has been rejected as being a teacher of the Word of God, so he went into fishermen. Every kid in Jerusalem, every Jewish kid would try to be a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a religious, a priest. But guess what? And they would be followers. But somewhere along the line, somebody said to Peter, you just ain't good enough. Matter of fact, all these disciples, the apostles, you just ain't good enough. God, I'm about to preach to y'all if y'all let me. You just ain't good enough. You 12, you 11, not good enough to serve in ministry. God, is there anybody in here? They picked the cream of the crop, and they all went, and these guys went to work. These guys went to work. Tax collecting, farming, what fishing, and praise God, they're sitting out there, and all of a sudden Jesus comes by. Now, God comes by. God comes by. Well, now, you know, all the good teachers, all the good masters have been taken. Gamaliel's been taken. Paul's in that. All the good masters. But the master gets in your boat and starts trying to extract something out of your life that you don't think that's even possible. I've been passed over around 13, 14 years old. The masters would say, no, you just need to go ahead and get you a vocation. You need to give up on being a priest. You need to go back to work. And Peter went headlong into fishing. Amen? But all of a sudden, somewhere in the middle of his life, Jesus shows up and says, hey, you know what? I don't want you to be a fisherman of fish. I want you to be a fisherman of men. But it's too late. But guess what? When Jesus, it doesn't matter. You can say all you want to say. I remember when I first got saved, you know what I told Melissa? We ain't going to get too crazy in this thing. That's what I told her. We were riding by Mount Carmel Baptist Church, riding down that road. She goes, what are we going to do there? Don't worry, baby. We ain't getting too crazy in this. It got crazy. Some of y'all right now, making a note right now, it is crazy. You're here. God's crazy. Got in them boats. He sat down. He starts to teach. And when he gets to teaching, he gets to going, you can't help yourself. You're just mesmerized. Peter's just sitting there in that boat and goes, why did I let him in? And who is this? This is good stuff. I don't know if y'all get into kind of nerdy stuff like that, but I see Peter in the back of the boat as Jesus is in front of him teaching, and he's just sitting behind him going, I mean, I can just kind of see it in my mind. I can just see his tears just coming out. Oh, God! Oh, my God! He got in my boat! I can't help myself! Why did he choose me? Why did he pick me? Why did he get in here? But man, these words! What power. I want to follow him. I can't explain it, but I would, if he would ask me, I would follow him the rest of my life. Off one meeting. Off one experience. He's just sitting behind him. Oh my God, this is good. So if you ever get a hold of God, you won't say, it won't be all spoiled. It's just good. My life's been so good since I met Jesus. It's been so good. He taught people out of the ship. And now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He turns around and says to the night fisherman early in the morning, he turns around and he says, hey, that's, God, we hope y'all get this. I hope I'm not killing some of y'all in here. But he says this right here. He goes, now the teaching's over. Now let's go some application. When the teaching's over, let's do stuff. Let's just not try to come back to church next week and see if we can do it better than we did it the week before. Because what I would have thought is when the sermon's over and the people start dispersing, let's put the boat back on the shore. Because the sermon's over, right? While the people's walking away, Jesus said, let's go a little deeper. Because I want you to go a little deeper. I want you to hear the message, but I want you to do some stuff too. That's our heart. That's our problem. We know the messages. You know how many times I preach messages? I know that. Brother so-and-so preached that. And that was like, you know, this and this and that. I'm like, God, but let's live it. Let's live it, though. Because I'm going to be honest. You live it, you'll find something else in it that'll turn over in your heart. And you'll go, man, I never seen that in there before. So he pushed off into the deep in the daytime when you're not supposed to be fishing with a net. And he knew that because that's what God will do. Johnny, that's what God does to us all the time, ain't it? God says to do something, and we're experts in something. Have you ever been an expert in something? Golly, have you ever been an expert in something and God tried to show you that he's the expert in everything? Cast out a little bit. We're going to go back here, and we're going to let our nets down. We're going to catch a drop. Did you hear what he said? He didn't say we might catch something. We're going to. Cast out in the deep, we're going to. Peter's in his mind. I know what he was thinking. He goes, you are crazy. My side, I'm sorry, this is just who I am. I would have think, man, we already got the nets kind of mended. We got all the junk out of them. And we're set to go fishing tomorrow night. As what? As we're rowing out into the deep. I bet everybody on shore that he just got through teaching, because some of you are going to get a hold of Jesus and God's going to send you in a different direction, and everybody else is going to be going home for dinner and to do whatever they do, and they're going to be looking at you and going, what are them idiots doing? God will do that. I hate to tell you this, but God will do that. When you get Jesus on board, he'll send you in a different direction and a different way than everybody else is going, and everybody will say stuff like, you better not do that. You don't have any resources for that. Come on, y'all help me right here. You don't have the resources for that. You need to educate. You better not do that. You can't really rely on that. You better have a fallback plan. You better have a plan B. You know how many times I've heard that in ministry? What's your plan B? I don't know. I really don't know what my plan. I didn't even have a plan A until I met Jesus. And they put a microphone in my hand. And next thing you know, that's plan A. And then play B, C, D, and E all the way down to Z. That's my plan. Live for Jesus until I can't no more. Amen. Cast out the deep. We're gonna catch a draw. I love who Jesus is, because see, he's already seen. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He already seen the catch. Oh, never mind. Y'all get that later. So sometimes Jesus asks you to do stuff, and you're going, okay, I don't know how that's gonna work. If God asks you to do it, he already seen the end of it. Just do it. Amen. We'll get that at the 3 points at the end. I'm gonna preach 3 points today at the end. How many have you gotten so far? Verse 5, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, underline that, highlight that, put parentheses around it, I will let down the net. Despite of how I feel, I will listen to your word. Some of y'all need to ingrain that in your head. Despite of how I feel, I will listen to your word. I get tired of it. Christians all the time, I didn't feel. What did the word say? What did the word say to you? What did God say? I love Peter right here. We're so weird as Christians. We don't talk to God around other people like we should. Peter's just, I wish we'd get real like that. This is crazy. That's what he's saying. We fished all night, Lord. We didn't catch anything. But at your word. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. He just met Jesus. He don't know if Jesus knows anything about fishing, but he just says, at your word. I think as he's throwing it off the side or however you deploy the nets, praise God, he's in his mind going, I'll show you. And God's going, I know, I'm going to show you.
I'll show you. Listen, you know, can I give y'all something right here? All Jesus really wanted to do was catch that one catch. That's all he wanted. Because if you ever see that one get caught, you're going to become a fisherman. Amen? When the first one gets in the net and you realize it wasn't you, all it was God said throw, and you were like, I didn't even think I'd catch in. All of a sudden, but in this case right here, they threw throw it all in. At your word, Lord. Hallelujah, spiritual one. I'll prove you wrong with my gifts, talents, and ability. I've been fishing my whole life. Anybody here been doing something your whole life and you know better than God? I've lived here my whole life. I've done this my whole life. As the net sinks down into the depth, he don't know anything. Right? He don't know anything. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. I bet that never happened before. Get such a load of fish on the first time you were obedient to God. If you'll get obedient to God, things will happen when they're not supposed to happen, in the season they're not supposed to happen, at the time they're not supposed to happen. And when they're happening, it's automatically going to come out of your mouth. Praise God, this is good. Amen? He's a fisherman. That's all he knows. He's just trying to pull this up. His net's breaking. He's going, this guy, we can make a business out of this. Amen? This is going to be very good for us. You ever thought that? God's going to use this talent, this gift that I have. He's going to use this ability. Some of y'all have got your biggest strength on standby. I mean, you pull it, man, your biggest strength. That's what God's going to use. No, God will tell you to walk away from your biggest strength, and he'll start using your biggest weakness. Nobody wanted Peter to be a minister, a preacher, or a teacher, or the foundation of anything. God said, I want you to be my leader. The old guy who was rejected, I want you. But all I want you to do is, I want you to do it just like when I told you to do it, even though you can't believe you can do it, I want you to do it anyway. I'm about to preach one of my points right there. Y'all still waiting for those 3 points? And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and they filled both ships so that they began to sink. And when, watch this, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Get out of my boat! Have you ever felt that way? I don't deserve this. Your teaching's good. Your actions are good. You're good, I'm not. There's times where I get to do things and I'm like, why me? God, go get somebody else worthy of this. He goes, I can't. There ain't nobody. I just need the ones who'll be obedient. One, to let me on board. Two, to listen and be obedient and just let me use them. God doesn't want all your skills and your abilities and your talents and who you are. He wants your willingness and your obedience. That's what he really wants. If you want to give him something, just give him a blank check with your life and say, I've already signed it, Lord, for the full amount. You can have it. I'll give myself. See, Jesus gave himself a dying sacrifice. All he says is, this is acceptable to the Lord that you give yourself a living sacrifice. Not part, not some, all. He don't want some of your life. He don't want 2 hours on Sunday. He don't want to know where you go to church at. He wants you, all of you, all the time. Where your passion, where your purpose, where you're at, he wants you there. Whatever you love to do and you love to do it for Jesus. Put some Jesus in it. Amen? Matter of fact, put Jesus all over it. Watch this right here. I'm going to give y'all 3 points. Y'all ready for the 3 points? I promise I'll go quicker than I did through the first 18. All right? The first one, invest in the net. This whole message is about the net. The net is Jesus. Amen? Matter of fact, when you really study out the word net, it comes back to the word redeemer. He is the one who redeems. He redeems the things that are underneath and below and low, and he brings them up. The great thing about Jesus, he'll never break. Amen? Their net broke, but the net will never break. Amen? Yeah, what I mean by that is, He's still catching fish with the same net that he cast 2,000 years ago at Calvary. It's never broke. It's never slipped. It's never let one get out. If you get in the net, you're in the net. Amen? So the first word is invest in the net. Invest in the net. They had invested in the net. If you're a part of this church, if you love this ministry, invest in it financially, prayerfully, and serviceably. Amen? I know when church, when pastors and preachers say financially, people start shutting down and going, oh, no, they want my money. No, no, no. No, listen, what we want to do, we want you to do is we want you to sow into this because you love it. There is nothing in your life that you love to do and that you're a part of that you don't finance with your money. Amen? Whatever it is, you say, if somebody says, oh, so-and-so, he does this. Oh, so-and-so, she does this. I guarantee if we got your debit statements, you paid for it. Amen? Invest in it. Invest in it. Invest in the church. Invest in this ministry. Blood, sweat, tears, finances. Amen? Pray to God. Ask Him. He'll probably say 10%. Amen? Just guessing. But people, let me tell you this. Don't be so prideful and say, I give my 10%. I tithe and be all broke. Because guess what? You know what that does? That just makes you not a thief. Amen? There's tithes and there's offerings. That's above and beyond. That's saying, God, here's what you blessed me. You gave me a job, the ability, the strength to do it. And I come to this church and they got heat, air conditioning, kids, gym, some preaching, singing's off the charts. It's great. Great people. Sow into it. Sow into it. Amen? You won't ever, when you get to the end of your life, you won't sit there and go, man, I wish I'd have gave less money to that church. Work on the net. When they found they were working on the net, working on the net. I think about this all the time, working on the net. What do you mean, working on Jesus? Working on the thing, reading, praying, studying, getting closer to God. Know what you know. Amen? Study to show thyself approved. Amen? Just get into Jesus. Try to figure out how you make that net stronger. You make your skill set stronger in the Lord. Whatever gift, whatever talent, whatever ability He's given you, do it with excellence towards the Lord. Amen? Do it for excellence for the Lord. Don't do it halfway. Don't come in this church and go, I'm a Sunday school. Be the best Sunday school teacher you can be. Be the best wanna teacher you can be. Look out and say, wait a minute, I got to work on my net because I'm going fishing at Awana. We're about to start Awana off. In my heart, everybody that teaches in that Awana program should come in and say, some kid is going to find Jesus because of me. I'm changing somebody's eternity through this Awana program. I don't care what I do. I don't care if I'm the game player. I don't know what you call it. Recreation guy, gal. I don't care if I feed people. I don't care if I'm the director. You know what? I'm going to look for opportunities to change somebody's eternity. I'm going to work on my net, my ability to witness, my ability to love, my ability to serve, and my ability to share the gospel with somebody. Work on the net. Work, because soon as you get through fishing, Peter and them, you know what they did? They took their nets out and they mended them and cleaned them out. You know why? Because they got to fish with that again. They intimately knew the net. I intimately know Jesus. I know the fibers. I know how to use it. I know how to work with it. I know what it looks like. I know what it looks like to be healthy. I know what it looks like when it's going to catch some people. Amen. Then the last one. Throw it where the master says to throw it, and throw it. Amen. Throw it. Listen. Everybody in here, I want you to hear this. I don't care what Jesus tells you to do, but when He tells you to do it and throw it. I mean, throw the net. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't do that. That ain't no real ministry. That ain't no big deal. Throw it. Throw it. When you say it and somebody says, I'd never do that. Good. This is a great fishing hole anyway. I'm glad you're not here. Amen? You ain't going to get everybody support. You ain't going to get everybody to fall in love with what God's called you to do. He said, I'll make you fishers of men. So guess what? When the master says, throw the net, I don't care if you're shopping, working, playing. If all of a sudden you're in mid-game and all of a sudden God says, throw the net. Throw the net. If you're out at the park, throw the net. Time to throw the net. If you're with your people at work and all of a sudden somebody comes to you and says, my marriage is falling apart. My life's falling apart. There's no hope. I don't see. Man, the country's falling apart. I don't see no hope. God says, throw the net. Throw the net. Just throw it. Well, you might get in trouble. You might get fired. You might lose. If God says throw the net, guess what? God's got a better plan. I'm not just saying throw the net when you want to throw the net. Throw the net when God says, If you throw it over there, it always cracks me up every time I read the Bible. He says, they're in like an 8-foot or 12-foot boat, and he'll say, throw it over on this side. Right? It's an 8-foot boat. What does it matter if it's on the right or left? Right? I mean, I'll give you all this little, here's the boat, here's the water, fish, net on this side or net on that side. What does it matter? They're going to come under the boat and hit the net, right? It's obedience. He said, throw it over the right side, throw it over the right side. If he says, throw, he's already got a plan. When you throw the net, we're going to catch it. We're going to catch a draught. We're going to catch a big load of fish. So some of y'all, what y'all do is you listen to God, but then you want to throw it on your way. Throw the net. I'll throw it tomorrow. I'll throw it when I'm better at throwing it. Okay, I'll throw it, but I want to throw it the way I want to throw it. Hey, gee, I'd rather throw it on this side. Matter of fact, I'll throw it on shore a couple times because that's where I throw it best. Just throw it. Throw it. Amen? So what's the message this morning for the church? Has Jesus got in your life? And are you using the net that he's given you to catch many people in the gospel net? Is that, because listen, that's a very good indicator whether you're in the faith or not. Because the moment you get saved, when you truly get saved and born again and loving on Jesus, you can do that for about a year or two and just love on God and show up and feed me and worship. But eventually, you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, there's some more people out there like me. And I need to help get them in here. There's some more people. Maybe there's some people out there that hurt you. There's some people out there that hurt me. But they just didn't know Jesus. What Jesus said about the people who crucified him, they just didn't know. They were ignorant, amen, to me being Christ, amen? Your heart changes when you get saved and born again. You start looking for the opportunities to throw the net. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. If God's touched your heart this morning, you can respond in a couple of ways. You can come to this altar, and you can pray and seek God and say, God, help me. Help me. Get in my boat. Change my life. Be the captain, the Lord of my life. You can absorb this message as a mature believer. Accept that message and walk out of here and do those things. Invest in the net. Work on the net. And cast the net. Out of the two, I would love to see the altars filled up with a church who's saying, God, I want God on board in my life, and I want him to give me that desire. But as a pastor, to be honest with you, I would rather hear about my church down in Dunlap, Saudi, and Hickson. They're down there throwing the nets. Your church is really throwing the net. So maybe we could pray this morning that God, help me see that I need to invest my net, work on my net, and cast my net.